teaching from that. So yeah, I so loved just us getting together on Tuesday. I love the whole weekend. I'm so thankful that Randy got to be here and with us again. And but Tuesday was such a blessing, just to be praying for each other. And I'm very encouraged, because I think what we do as we pray over people for their birthdays is kind of like a mini prayer circle. And it's like, okay, it really encouraged me. We're on the right track. Like, I know that, but that was even more of an encouragement. Like, way to go, guys. You're doing well. And I want to take those words that Randy said, you did really good, like to all of us on Tuesday night as we shared with each other. I want to take that to heart. One thing I'm battling, this is totally an aside, is, and we might get to that part in the second little mini sermon, but like just accepting that as fact, you know, when, because my go-to sometimes is, oh, you're doing well. Oh, we're not really doing well. You're just saying that. And it's like, oh, Kevin, what's wrong with you? But that may be for the second one. But anyways, really encouraged. And then I just want to let you know how I've processed a little bit what was shared with me, or a few of the things. I haven't processed through all of it yet, but especially the words that Larry, and I got to talk to you about your vision too, that you had for me too, but the words that Larry and Josh had for me, and then it does mix in with, I think, your vision for that you had while you prayed, or, well, what God gave you. But just this, you know, so Larry gets up and he had these words. He asked me first if he could call me by my middle name, and not many know my middle name. My middle name is Dick, and that's my mom's maiden name. And so then he had this word, Dick. Dig in, dig deep, and discover. And I shared with Larry yesterday, because he said, I think the calling you Dick was just me. And I said, no, actually, no, it was from the Lord. Because immediately, even that night, you have to understand, only my dad called me that. And that was his name, that's the name he used as I was growing up from very small. And it's very... Yeah, I just think about my dad then. And I think the Lord was sharing as I pondered this, just that he wanted to reveal his father's heart for me and the way he looked at me as his father, and to deepen that understanding of father relationship with me. So I think that very much had to do with that. That's what God is going to reveal in the dig in, dig deep, and discover. Like, discover my father's heart for you. Discover this deep father relationship that I want to have with you. I do have that a little bit, but like even this thing of with Randy, like, yeah, you really didn't mean that. I think I sometimes do that to God too. Yeah, you don't really mean that, Lord. Like, thanks for patronizing me, you know, or thanks for saying, but you don't really mean that. I know we didn't do that well. Like, it's just so sad, the stuff that we sometimes have to work through. But like, no, that he is that honest and true father. And then Josh's word of dig up, stupid. Yeah, you had to be there. It was so good. It was so sad because I had to, Josh and I talked later, because I just saw this. I think it was such a great learning experience for Josh too, if I can share a little bit. But like, because what a risk, right? There's 20 of us or so, and he's like, I have this word. And he's explaining, you know, it has to do with what we prayed over you with your birthday, I think. You know, the arrow and the whole, the arrow and the digging, or I forget what else. But I couldn't remember the arrow, even though I'd drawn it on the chalkboard. Like, my memory is bad. Like, just things come and go. And so I'm like, I don't quite remember. And then he just shared the word. Dig up, stupid, which is from a Simpsons episode where they're digging down and then, you know, the cop says at the end, dig up, stupid, you know, kind of thing. And let me interpret that for you, though, because a lot of people, even Randy, when he heard it, he was just like, I'm not sure I heard that correct. Maybe my hearing aids are gone, you know, kind of thing. And let me interpret, though, the way I know the Lord wouldn't share that word, say, with Carlene or with other people. But for me, it was perfect, because it really came across as the interpretation would be, dig up, silly, like silly, with a smile on his face. Again, not a patronizing smile, but like, oh, no, dig up, silly. And God's sense of humor, and that's where God meets us where we're at, because it's totally my sense of humor, and just, yeah, it's so ministered to me. I had to minister to Josh later because he had this look of horror on his face. Did I just blow it? Like, oh my goodness. But I so appreciate that about you, Josh, that you take risks and you're willing to, like, this is what I hear, whether it was like when we were praying for Candace on Tuesday and, you know, you giving this scream, or different things that you shared, you know, just this risk. This is what I hear. This is what I'm going to do and say, and I'll learn in the midst of it, you know, kind of thing. So I love that. So, and then Tyler's vision of the Statue of Liberty with a head in the clouds, I think it really has to do with that too, of God wanting to reveal things, but that are hidden right now, you know? And so I began to pray, and this is where I want to also teach us, like, so with words given to us, whether it's on Tuesday or on birthdays, or maybe after church when someone comes up to you and says, hey, I saw this or I saw that, as you were praying or as you were leading worship or as you were singing or as you were participating or as you were sharing, whatever, where we take those things to heart and write them down. Like, and this is where I want it to be our practice, because I know Carlene's pretty faithful in writing these things down, to share it with each other, to send it with each other. But if someone gives you a word, like, write it down. And that's where I need to remember too, because even the arrow thing, I totally forgot. And yet, oh yeah, I remember now. Like, as we were out in the hallway then, it all of a sudden, light bulb went on, and oh yeah, I remember. I drew that arrow, you know, kind of thing. And up the wall, and you can't go further unless you go up, and all of that. So anyways, the Lord gives us words like that, and we see throughout Scripture that he loves speaking in parables. Sometimes we're just like, Lord, just can you please just give it to me straight? You know, just bypass the whole parable thing. Bypass the picture of sunflowers and rainbows and horses and statues of liberty and all these things, dresses and dancing and all that. And just give it to me straight, all right? But here's the thing. He loves speaking in parables, and he wants to speak to us straight, but he speaks to us straight when we seek his face. Okay? So we see Jesus speaking in parables many times. Like, he had so many parables. And in Matthew chapter 13, the disciples ask him very plainly in verse 10. So this is after he spoke the parable of the sower. The disciples came to him and asked, so why do you speak to the people in parables? Like, again, why? Why? Why are you talking about farmers and wheat fields and birds and hard paths? And why are you speaking of weeds and tares and wheat and all these things? Why are you speaking about merchants seeking pearls and all these kinds of treasures buried in a field and all these things? Like, just give it to us straight. Jesus' answer is this, verse 11. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding, ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And then in verse 18, he goes on to explain the parable. And what I notice is this. Every time that the scriptures show the disciples asking what the parable meant, Jesus explains it to them in plain language. there are some parables. It doesn't talk about that conversation happening, but it wouldn't surprise me if with all the parables, later on, you know, after they've come down from the mountain or after Jesus has given his sermon to the masses, later on the disciples, you know, I always picture them sitting around a fire, you know, kind of thing in the evening and getting ready for bed and all that. And then the disciples are like, by the way, Jesus, what did you mean by... You know, there was fish being caught, and then there was a separation of the bad fish from the good fish. What do you mean by someone seeking a treasure in the field and going and selling all he has to buy that field? What did you mean by, and then just asking him about these parables, and then Jesus explaining it to them in plain language? So this is key. So we receive words. We receive pictures, and it's often like metaphorical picture that is given to us, parables. Take those home and ask God, what do you mean by this? Because that's what I did. So this is how my week went then. So the next day, and I'm not sure if it was Wednesday morning or Thursday morning, but like I had been asking God, like, I don't get it. It didn't come to me as the words were being shared. And so I asked the Lord, what do you mean? And I actually used this phrase with him, if Lindsay's listening. I said, Lord, I'm going to use a Lindsay prayer here, okay? Tell me practically what this means, because I don't know what it means to dig up. I know what stupid means, but like, no, like, silly, right? Silly, that's the interpretation to me. That's what he's speaking to me. Come on, oh, silly, you know. But I don't know what it means to dig up. I don't get it. I'm just at a total loss. And that was my prayer. Can you explain it to me, please? Because I don't get it. I need practical guidance here. And so on either Wednesday morning or Thursday morning, I think it was Thursday. Anyways, I'm on the couch, have my coffee. Already drank half my coffee. I'm starting to wake up, you know. And so I get out the Bible and start reading. And I'm sitting. And when we read, right, our heads are down. This is how the Lord ministered me. So I'm just reading wherever I was reading. John, I think I was at that point. I'm reading. And then I believe the Holy Spirit said to me then, right now you're digging down. And that's good, by the way. I want to make that clear too. Like, I dig into the Word, and it's not that God is saying, why are you wasting your time doing that? No, you do that well, but that's digging down. That's digging deep down, right? And because I got this picture, right, me with my face down. And so then I lifted my face up, and I got this picture of worship. And when I worship, often it's just up, heads up, looking up. And I just heard, again, I believe the Holy Spirit gave interpretation of, like, dig deep in worship. Dig deep, dig in, dig deep, and discover. You'll discover my Father's heart. You'll discover my heart for you. You will see, the clouds will part, and you'll see, like, all that's hidden will be revealed. And I'm praying about a lot of things, like even being able to see, like Randy was describing, too, because... You know, even the other words kind of lead into it too, you know, leading the charge forward and defender and all these kinds of things. And I've often said to the Lord, Lord, I need to see then. If I'm going to lead in this, I need to be able to see. I have to be able to see. Because even Morgan asked Carlene, and then Carlene asked Randy, I think, about, well, when are we going to do prayer circles? When are we going to start? And Randy said, well, you need someone strong enough to lead that. And I said to Carlene, I really actually do believe I'm strong enough for that. Like, I'm able to take charge, and I don't mind saying, that's a little off or whatever, or we need to go in this direction. I don't mind taking charge. But I said, but the thing that I'm lacking is I can't see yet. I can't see as well as I believe I need to see to lead that. So, Lord, I want to see. Because I want to lead well. I don't want to be like, let's go this way. You know, because then it's the blind leading the blind, and we all fall into the ditch then. That's no good. So that's part of my prayer. But this place of then, like the Lord saying, dig into worship. And what I realized too about myself, A, I'm made for worship. We're all made for worship. But even as we were praying over Candace and that, like, and I know that God has given us a bunch of words here. There are, like, worship is a part of Emmanuel Grace. It's part of every church, but I think it's a calling on Emmanuel Grace. And I look at the worship leaders that he's given us and the worship team that he's given us. And it's like, you know, whether it's, you know, Lily approaching the piano and she can start feeling the presence of God falling, you know, streams of water pouring out of Candace's mouth, the Lord anointing Craig to lead, the Lord anointing me to lead on Mondays, the Lord anointing the whole band and all this kind of stuff. And it's just, I know that worship is a big part, and the Lord has spoken to me about worship in my life in the past as well. But I had to admit, like, lately, the only time I pick up my guitar is on Monday nights when it's time to lead worship, and I haven't dug deep into worship. And so the Lord just saying, dig deep into worship. And so there was the parable, and then the seeking after the Lord, what does this mean? Because I don't get it. I'm not going to try and figure it out, Lord. Because that's where Randy was reminding us, just not turn off your brain, but like the mind is there to respond to God, not to try and figure out what God is saying. Okay, that's why we have our intellect, is to respond, but not to take charge and trying to figure out. And so just let God speak. And Lord, I need this interpretation. I'm sitting with Jesus at the end of the day, or in my case, it was the beginning of the day, but Lord, what do you mean by this parable? And then him explaining. I believe it was his explanation. But then comes the third step, is the walking out. We were in Sunday school today. We were talking about that. Yeah, it's great to hear. It's great to hear God's voice, and it's great to understand what the scriptures are saying. But the most important part of it all is our response. How are we going to respond? What are we going to do? You know, we pray the Lindsay prayer of, Lord, can you speak to me practically about this? Okay, then he answers that prayer. And now, are we practically going to respond? Are we going to respond practically? We've asked for a practical explanation, and now are we going to walk it out? So this is how it's looked for me since Wednesday or Thursday, when the light bulb moment went off in my life there. It's like, okay, I need to dig deep into worship. And so this week I was on the piano for the first time in 6, 8, 10, 12 months, just worshiping. I have my little Bluetooth speaker next to me now, and I just playing worship music. I don't do that unless I'm in the car usually, but it just dig deep into worship, and I just find myself worshiping along, like as I'm going about, even as I'm reading, and then I'll be reading with the worship music going, and then I'll stop and I'll just start worshiping and agreeing with what's being sung. And with I've taken my on my prayer times, like where I go walking. Sometimes I'll take now, like the last few days, I'll take my earphones with me, and you know, I have my worship music on my phone, and without any agenda of I need to pray for this, and this. And it's just, I'm going to just worship you. And I'll pray too. Like, I'm not going to give up prayer. I'm not going to give up digging into the word. That's not what God is after. It's just walking out practically, you know, learning the bass, worshiping along. It's hard to worship when you're learning an instrument though, but it's coming quick because I play guitar. So, but like worshiping along with that, worshiping the Lord, taking time to sing, taking time to just praise him, taking time to try and dig in deep to that. So these practical outworkings of, okay, this word was given to me. I've asked the Lord to explain himself. What does it mean? He's given the explanation, and now walk it out. I would encourage us all to do that. When the Lord speaks, to walk it out. If you don't understand what he's saying, ask him to explain himself. He loves explaining. See, the parables to the masses, You know, they were just parables. They were nice stories. Oh, that was a good story. I really like that. Yeah, I like the one about the farmer and the seed. Yeah, I loved it too. What do you think it meant? No idea, but it was a fun story. And then they go on their very merry way and they continue on with their life. But the explanation comes in relationship. Later on, after the story, you know, they come along, and I'm sure anyone was invited. It's not just a seclusive, you know, exclusive little group that only gets to meet with Jesus. I'm sure if anyone wanted to, hey, I'm going to follow him now because I didn't understand what he was saying, but I really liked it. I really felt the presence of God. I want to know, though, what that meant. And they follow him to the campfire, and they say, hi, Jesus, you know, my name's Kevin. And, oh, yeah, I know you. I remember making you, right? You know, and it's like, I don't understand what you meant. Oh, good. I was just about to explain to the rest, and we can be a part of that conversation. He wants to explain himself. Don't leave these things, these words that God shares, whether it's a tongue or whether it's praying over you over your birthday or a word that's shared with you after church or before church by someone else or a prayer circle thing. Don't let it just be, that was cool. I really felt the presence of God there. That was neat. And it was. It is cool. It is neat. It is wonderful. We do feel his presence. But take it a step further and ask him, Lord, could you please explain yourself? Could you please explain it to me? I don't fully get it. Or I get it, but I don't know how to walk it out now. Like, can you give me some practical steps? Can you, I see what you're saying, but can you give me some just, I'll use one of Forrest's line there. Lord, I'm a little thick. Right? Like, we're all thick a little bit. Some of us thicker than others. I can be, but Lord, I know it won't always be this way, Lord, but can you give me step 1, 2, and 3? Just help me with this, please. Just, what can I do? And him saying to me, well, you could pick up your guitar a little bit more. Oh, another thing he talked to me about is getting back into songwriting. It's like, yeah, I haven't done that in a while. Lord, I know that you like to do that in my life, and I haven't been. So pick up your guitar a little bit more. Get on the piano a little bit more. Have worship music playing, and not just playing in the background, but really join in. Worship me. Draw close to me in thanksgiving and in song and in praise. Those are some of the practical things that the Lord laid out for me that came through prophetic words. I want to encourage you to do that. And maybe you haven't received a prophetic word yet or whatever, or we all have, mind you, but just even, Lord, would you speak to me? You talk to me about my life. What are the next steps I need to take? Because he wants us all to grow. What are the next steps that I need? And then he might give you a parable. And then, thank you, Lord, for this parable. And I feel your presence on that word. I feel your presence on that parable. Now, I don't want to bother you anymore. We often go to think of God that way. I don't want to bother you. But could you explain that now, please? And then he explains it. Oh, thank you for the explanation. Now, could you give me steps 1, 2, and 3? Just start me off on how to walk that out. But then here's the big thing, right? Walk it out. Then walk it out. God is answering prayers that I've prayed. I want to see better. I want the clouds to just fade away. And I want to see. I want to hear. I want to know. I want to draw closer. And he's like, I want you to do that too. Now I'm giving you the formula, quote unquote. But I'm showing you how, specifically to you, designed for you, Kevin. Now the question is, will I walk it out? Are there any questions or comments on that?
Just when I think of the explanation of the parables and that kind of stuff, or even words spoken over us, the idea that comes to me is pursuit.
Yeah.
And so you'll have the masses say, but Lord, we did pursue you. We came to the hillside to listen to you.
Right.
And I look at that as, no, that's an interest, or that's a...
Oh, so good.
Right? The pursuit is then taking the next step. And, okay, now explain it to me, because I didn't understand it. And that's that heart's pursuit to follow it. It is a much deeper step than just an interest. Well, we came to the hillside. Like, isn't that pursuit?
Yeah.
So the masses in the churches. Well, we came to church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know, but the pursuit is so much of a deeper understanding of that.
It's good. It's very important what he just said, what Larry just said. Yeah.
The last few days, Candace had given, she had had a dream, and I had been part of the dream, and that dream just kept coming back to me the last few days. In fact, I just read it to Morgan this morning, and I think it really applies. Tied into that, this morning I was reading about the Mount of Transfiguration, and they had to go up. They had to go up to see Jesus, and that revelation of Jesus, like,
yeah.
I don't know, I think that's part of it. Like, we need that revelation. So anyway, I'll read. So this is Candace giving me the stream. A group of us were together, I think church people, and you, that means me, came in and were wanting to show us a picture pretty urgently. It was a side profile picture of Jesus with bandages across his eyes, and the caption said, "Wait upon the Lord." As you were showing us, the scene changed to us being in the picture. We were on a beach, and the disciples and Jesus were around a fire. Jesus then faced us head on, and it turned out the bandages weren't actually covering his eyes. It had just looked like that from the side profile. This was significant for some reason. I'd been praying about that, and the thought came to me, and I'm like, oh, Lord, sometimes I think we think you don't see. Don't you see, Jesus, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Or don't you hear? Or whatever, I don't know. Jesus finished the caption then by saying, "Wait upon the Lord, and then you'll see." He also was teaching about how in Scripture, whenever it talks about the sea, S-E-A, it's talking about people. And somehow that our fight is not against flesh and blood. But it's that wait upon the Lord, and then you will see. And I think that's all part of the digging and going up and pursuing. Yeah,
it's good. So again, I would encourage, like with dreams and that, do exactly what Lily's doing. You write it down. I'm sure Candace did too, I hope. Yeah, good. Like, write it down and then take it to the Lord. And especially details. Like, the Lord is giving those details in the dream or a vision for a reason. And so just, what does that mean, Lord? What does that mean? I don't understand yet. And just continue to pursue that, and that persistence and that pursuit of God. Just, Lord, can you explain it? Because he's giving it for a reason. Now, there might be a time where, like with Daniel, you know, it's not for this time, it's for later. Okay, then that's fine. But every once in a while, I'll go back to it, but pursue him for an explanation, and then, Lord, what do I do with this? Because with the bandages and that, immediately as you said that, I saw, like, we'll see that his eyes are wide open when we're face to face. But if we're just, like, kind of near him and beside him, we won't see. But when we're face to face, now then the question would be, okay, Lord, oh, thank you. First of all, we'd praise, oh, thank you for that explanation, if that is truly from the Lord, right? Thank you. But now, Lord, what does that mean? Because face-to-face is nice, colorful language. But, Lord, what does it practically mean? How do I see you face-to-face? And then we pursue the Lord in that. Any other questions or comments?
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to confirm what you were saying about your head being in the clouds and then the worship. And when you were first talking about it, I saw, like, worship music, like, blowing the clouds away and, you know.
Yay. Oh, may it be so. And, yeah. Amen. All right. Well, let's worship in song together. That's the first mini sermon. And then we'll see if the Lord leads me into the second one later.